Everyone, welcome to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Thank you very much for being here. If you are new to our congregation or a guest visiting with us from somewhere else, thank you very, very much for being here. We really value everyone's attendance, whether we know you or don't know you. We're so happy that you're here. Also, we would be happy for you to connect with us online. You can see on the front cover of our bulletin all of the convenient ways to do that: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, our HTML page. Please take a look at that and follow us online, like us, keep up with us. There's a lot of good content that we push out onto the internet, and we would love for that to do you some good. So check out those avenues. Open your Bibles right now, if you would please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When I think about chapter 2, my mouth just wants to say Acts. But this morning we're in Luke chapter 2. As you open to Luke chapter 2, I want to share with you this news. The Bible Bowl for this year, actually early part of next year, this Bible Bowl season has already started. The actual Bible Bowl event itself will be mid-February 2017. Right now, don't really worry yourself with all the details. Just know this: we're going to be studying the book of Luke. And this Bible Bowl is very unique in that it offers an adult category. So if you are an adult and would like to do the Bible Bowl this year, you can. Last year, we fielded some teams who did a great job and had a good time and learned a lot. That's the most important thing, right? Is that they learned a lot. They grew in the knowledge of the Scriptures. We would like to do that again this year. So be giving that some thought. Beginning this morning, I'll be preaching a little bit more from the book of Luke, which will be this season's material that we will be studying and tested on. It comes from the New King James Version, I want you to know, and so I'm going to do my very, very best to use that translation in the preaching that I do on the book of Luke. Also, the morning scripture readings will likely come from the book of Luke so that we can really keep that material in front of our eyes. And if you're interested in that, I would be happy to give you some more information. I'm kind of the newbie to the Bible Bowl. Last year was my first year, but I'll be happy to share with you what I know. And I would like to encourage you to give it some thought, pray about it, think about it, study the book of Luke. And by all means, if you want to participate in this year's Bible Bowl, we'll be happy to talk with you about that and see what we can put together. Luke chapter 2 is a really incredible passage that introduces us to a man named Simeon. He is blessed to see the Lord. And we read this excerpt of his life here in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 25. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this was a just and devout man." This man was just and devout. What kind of person was Simeon? He was just and devout. What did he wait for? He waited for the consolation of Israel. What was upon him? The Holy Spirit was upon him. It was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So this man was told that he would live long enough to see Jesus. And sure enough, he did. If you look at verse number 28, 29 there, you see Simeon sees the baby Jesus, and now he announces to the Lord, verse number 29, "Your servant may depart in peace, because," he says, verse number 30, "my eyes have seen your salvation." Are you looking for a verse to memorize? Our pew packers do a wonderful job memorizing verses. And we need to be an example to them and be encouraged by them. Are you looking for a verse to memorize? How about Luke 2:30? "For my eyes have seen your salvation." For my eyes have seen your salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation. There you go. You've got it. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. I want to use it this morning as kind of a launching pad for what I want to talk about, and that is how we have seen Jesus, and then seen Him, and then seen Him, and then we are all going to see Him again. We have seen Jesus, number one, in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a magnificent portion of God's inspired word, the Bible. It is one part. There are two parts to the Bible. This morning, we're thinking about those in faraway lands who don't have ready access to copies of the Bible. My grasp of world geography and world events is not exactly as strong as I'd like it to be, but some of those Eastern European countries that we're collecting money for to provide Bibles to, I seem to recall hearing on the news that they're going through a lot. They're having a lot of conflicts and a lot of struggles, and I admit I don't know everything that's going on there. I pray for them just like I pray for everybody. I don't know all of the troubles that they're facing. I do know this, that the Bible will help. The Bible will help tremendously. So if you've grabbed one of those envelopes, thank you. If you didn't get one, we've got bunches back there. Feel free to reconsider and put something in those envelopes so that we can provide Bibles to those who don't have them as readily as we have them. The Bible is a magnificent book from God with two parts, the Old Testament, the New Testament. The Old Testament is made up of 39 books, and in those 39 books of the Old Testament, we see pictures of Jesus. We see Jesus in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has 929 chapters. The Old Testament has 23,145 verses. 23,145 verses. It's made up of 39 books. And in the scope of that Old Testament, there are more than 300 prophecies about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the subject of the Old Testament. 39 books, 929 chapters, 23,145 verses, one message. And that one message is that Jesus is coming. He's spoken of frequently in the Old Testament, over 300 times, in direct prophecy form. Now, someone, no doubt a Casey Kasem fan, has compiled a top 40 of these more than 300 prophecies. Now, this is just a regular guy who randomly has picked out his top 40 favorite prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled. It's naturally a subjective list, and naturally we won't spend the time to look at all of them. But there's a lot of consensus at the top of this list of prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. Old Testament prophecies we're talking about that were actually fulfilled by Jesus, and the top three are incredibly impressive. They're all incredibly impressive, but at the top, we see some real oomph and power. Let me share those with you. I guess countdown style would be appropriate. Number three on this list is that Jesus is the willing sacrifice of the Old Testament. We really see strong shades of this in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 3. There, God is speaking to Abraham, and God is speaking to Abraham about Isaac. But wait just a minute. God is really speaking to us about His Son, Jesus. If you read and think and digest and process, the Lord says to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, and offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, got up early in the morning. I'm not an early riser. I'm a stay up later kind of guy. And it's always a fascination to me what causes people to get up early. And here, Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, on the day, don't lose this, on the day that God tells Abraham, you're going to offer your son, your only son, Isaac, as a burnt offering, on this day, Abraham wakes up early in the morning, ready to do what God has told him to do. Wow. And as we go further into the story, true story, we see that Isaac puts up no fight, no struggle, no resistance. Isaac offers himself willingly as a sacrifice. That sacrifice was stopped by God's intervention. In the New Testament, though, where God sacrifices his son, his only son, Jesus, on the cross, that sacrifice isn't stopped because it can't be stopped. God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever, that means you, that means me, that means all of us, that means any of us, anybody, anywhere, everybody, any place, can obey Jesus and be saved. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus is the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies that speak about a willing sacrifice. Number two on this list, Jesus is of the seed of Abraham. That's a big, big deal. Abraham is a key character in the Bible and key also to the Jews' religion. And in Genesis chapter 12, it's spoken to Abraham by God that in his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed. We see a very direct fulfillment of that when we read Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, which lets us know that Christ is of Abraham's seed. And therefore, all of those promises spoken to Abraham all those many years ago, those promises are fulfilled and actualized in Jesus Christ. Number one on this guy's list, and near the top of any list of Old Testament prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled, is the virgin birth of Christ. Christ obviously had nothing to do with his own virgin birth. This was something that was orchestrated by God to show that Jesus Christ is God's Son. It was, of course, spoken of long, long ago in Isaiah 7:14, where Isaiah talks about a virgin who will give birth to a child. This has interesting fulfillment and reference in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 talks about Jesus' birth and mentions it as a fulfillment. This was done so that might be fulfilled, is the language of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 equals Isaiah 7:14 in the Old Testament. Even before Isaiah, there is reference to Jesus being made of the seed of woman. Early on in our Old Testaments, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, early, the Lord speaks this prophecy to the devil there and talks about how from the woman's seed he will be put down. There's an interesting verse in Galatians 4:4 that lets us know in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman born under the law. So Jesus truly fulfills all of these prophecies and many, many, many more. We see Jesus. Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." This morning, you and I are saying we see Jesus in the Old Testament. Number two, we see Jesus in the flesh. We haven't seen him with our own eyes in this way, but there is abundant witness and testimony to Jesus' incarnation. That is the phase of his existence where he put on flesh. Quite famously, John 1 talks to us about Jesus who was with God in the beginning, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you drop in John chapter 1 down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, we see Jesus in the flesh. Jesus is not a distant Savior. Jesus is somebody who has come down in humility. He humbled himself, Paul says to his Philippian readers. He humbled himself and became like us so that he could save us. Well, one of the reasons for Jesus is doing this, we presume, is stated by Christ in John chapter 14, verse 9. John chapter 14, verse 9 is where we find Jesus saying, "If you have seen me," Jesus talking here, "if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Jesus is God's Son. He comes to be that mirror, that reflection of God to us. So if we see Jesus, we see the Father. Question here, what do we see in Jesus? Now, there's a long list of answers we could provide. I jotted down just a few. We see love in Jesus. We see love. Love for God. Come back to that one in a second. Love for his fellow man. Love for the truth. Definitely. We see love when we see Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we see the Father. We see obedience when we see Jesus. Love of God. That's a good working definition of what obedience is. Obedience is not just doing things. You know, you can hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and never really obey God if you don't do it for the right reasons. You can come, we've spoken about this before when we talk about our worship. You can come here, sit on the pew, and be around us singing, praying, listening to a message from the Bible, giving, taking the Lord's Supper. You can be around all of this, and you could be so distant while you're right here in this room, and yet so distant that your actions aren't really obeying God. Because obedience to God is love for God. Remember, Jesus says, John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What else do we see in Jesus? In Jesus, we see compassion. We see compassion. In Jesus, we see passion. We see his zeal for the Father's will. So when we see Jesus, we see our Savior in the flesh who left heaven to die for us. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. Jesus came to make our entrance into heaven possible. Number three, we see Jesus in his followers. We see Jesus in the Old Testament. We see Jesus in the flesh. Number three, we see Jesus in his followers because our lives are to reflect the way the Lord wants us to live. When Jesus' early followers were looked at by people, they showed signs of having been with Jesus. We talked about this verse in Bible class, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Onlookers, councilmen, those religious elite types, they saw Peter and John. They saw their boldness. And they did some back-of-the-envelope figuring. And this boldness that they saw in Peter and John, this was a sign that they had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, if you're following Jesus, you're going to look like a follower of his. Your life is going to look like a follower of Jesus. And those looking at you will see him. Just like happened here in Acts chapter 4, with Peter and John. They were bold, and that reminded the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these councilmen, that reminded them of somebody. Who does that remind us of? This boldness in preaching. Who does this remind us of? Oh, it reminds us of Jesus. When somebody sees you, who do you remind them of? Who do you remind them of? Does somebody see you in action and say, you know, you remind me of somebody? Who it's Jesus. It should be Jesus. When we see Jesus as followers living like the Lord, we see the Lord living in them. In Acts chapter 2, we see these followers of Jesus demonstrating great love, great tenderness. As everyone from all over the world assembles in Jerusalem, they embarked on a brand new journey that none of them expected would happen. They thought this would be a Pentecost feast, like every other Pentecost feast, would go to Jerusalem, have the acknowledgments, come back home. That's not what happened in Acts chapter 2. No, in Acts chapter 2, the Lord established his church. And so here were all of these people from all over the world assembled together. Now they were a part of a brand new church, and it wasn't just turn out the lights and go home. This was something different. This was something special. And this caused a bit of a logistical drain, because there were people visiting Jerusalem. They didn't live there. They didn't have houses there. They didn't have pantries there. They didn't have jobs there. And so what happened? Well, what happened is those who were residents in Jerusalem, they took their own possessions and gave them. They took their own things and sold them so that everyone could have a little. You know, these people are visitors to our city. And the church has been established. And understandably, they want to stay here and be a part of this new church. They don't want to go back home where they're not going to have this church there. They want to stay here in Jerusalem. And so that presented obstacles, that presented challenges, that the church is the people, that the church proudly stepped up to and took some responsibility for and helped. So in Acts chapter 2, we see Jesus and his followers. They have great love. In Acts chapter 17, we see Jesus and his followers and how they have great faith. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, it was said probably in an exacerbated way. You know, they've turned the world upside down. The person saying that didn't mean it as a compliment, but us Christians, we take that as a pretty strong compliment, right? If we're different from this world, if we are impacting this world to that degree, buddy, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. We see Jesus in his followers. Simeon said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." This morning, we have seen Jesus in the Old Testament, Jesus in the flesh, Jesus in his followers. And I want to end with this one here. We will see Jesus one day again. We will see him again. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, starts in this way. Verse 7, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it lets us know Jesus is coming again, and every eye will see him. Everybody, just like Simeon, everybody will see Jesus when he comes again. Now, when Simeon saw Jesus, he said, "I can die a happy man." When you see Jesus, what will you say? The Bible tells us about some people who will be sad to see Jesus. They'll be scared to see him. They'll run. They'll try to get away from Jesus when they see him. I hope that's not you. Every eye is going to see Jesus. And when you see him, I hope that you'll be ready. All of us here at the Augusta Road Church, we hope that you'll be ready. We love you so much, we want to tell you how to get ready for that. When Jesus comes again, it's definitely going to happen. When he comes again, we need to be one of his. And we can be one of his by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're ready for that this morning, we're more than ready for you this morning. If you want to talk more, study more, investigate more from your Bibles, that plan of salvation, let us help you with that. We would gladly, gladly help. If you already are a member of the Lord's church, that's fantastic. Can you, with Simeon, say, I can die happy when Jesus comes again, because we're living a life that truly honors God? I hope so. But if not, we have this invitation for you so that you can respond. Request prayers for your sins. We'll be happy to do that. If you're ready to be baptized, we're ready for you. Right now, while we stand and while we sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.